Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
The game is over. What went right and what went wrong? It's time for the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, brought to you by Lakeland University. Experience it your way. Visit lakeland.edu. Let's get to your hosts of the show, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Tommy Wirtz, on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
All right, here we go. Welcome in. As we start this show live on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. The Carolina Panthers are lining up to attempt a game-winning field goal at Lambeau Field. The game is tied at 13. Is it 13 apiece? Is that what I said it was?
Yep.
Yeah, 13 apiece. Ryan Fitzgerald is on to try and win this thing at Lambeau Field. And it is a relatively windy day.
49 yards.
Yeah, relatively windy day. And, I got to say something. You know, McManus missed that field goal earlier and yanked it, and Packer fans were obviously losing their mind, and I understand that aspect of it because, you know, he missed field goal last week, misses another field goal this week. Packers took a timeout. Missed a field goal again this week. You had another situation that we'll get into where instead of going for the field goal, they go for it on fourth down. And blow an opportunity on downs down in the red zone. That really has been the issue with the Green Bay Packers today overall. The issue hasn't been moving the football. The issue has been cashing it in when you get into the red zone. And that's been one thing that this Packers team has been really good at, right? This Packers team has been really good at converting on third downs. They've been really good at getting in the red zone and scoring points one way or the other. And for the most part, it's been that way all year until this game. And we talked about the idea of this being a trap game against the Carolina Panthers, of possibly losing this game like they did against the Cleveland Browns. And again, what ends up happening? They lose this game to the Carolina Panthers, just like they did to the Cleveland Browns. They lose 16-13. Probably Bryce Young's biggest victory, maybe, in his career at this point, being a 5-1-1 team for the Green Bay Packers. So the Packers lose this one 16-13 to the Carolina Panthers, and the trap game worry that we all had comes to fruition. If you'd like to hop on and talk about this, Nicolay Law, talk a text line. Here we go. 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. You can also chat with us right here on X. You can also chat with us right there on the YouTube as well, at WI Sports Radio. You can find us on YouTube, on X, Instagram, Facebook, all those fun stuff. So if you'd like to chat, you can there, or of course, just text us. Or I like calls. Personally, I'm a big call guy. Nicolay Law, talk and text line, 414-677-1250. I'd like to tell you that I'm really angry about this and going to lose my mind and all of this. But this was kind of a fear coming into this thing. I was Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's during the week. Charlie Houston and I were talking about the fact that this Panthers team was a better football team than the Steelers. In every statistical category you want to look at, offensively, defensively, they were a better football team than Pittsburgh. And everybody last week, oh, it's such a great win to beat the Steelers. And I kept saying, they're just not that good. It's just not true. Just stop with all this nonsense. This Carolina Panthers team, again, is a better football team. Now, quarterback-wise, no, maybe he's not Aaron Rodgers. Fine, I'll give you that. But I can't wait to hear what Rico Dowdell was dealing with, because that dude was running the ball at will. That dude had a groin injury earlier in this game, it looked like, that he continued to run back out there and play with against the Packers. For me, you lost this game for two reasons. The offensive line and the defensive line. That's why you lost this football game. The offensive line not picking up blitzes, holding penalties all over the place, absolutely killed this Packers offense. And the defensive line, what pressure? What pressure? And you, again, I said it again earlier in the week. I said if they come in and they go at Bryce Young like he's a running quarterback, which we've seen Jeff Halfley do before. What does that mean? That means he's only going to bring four. And he ain't going to try and bring more than four because he wants to keep him in front of him and doesn't want him breaking him off big plays. And that is exactly how Jeff Halfley treated this game. He treated this like Bryce Young was Michael Vick or something and was going to run all over him. So he rushed four and played everybody in front of him. And because of that, even with Micah Parsons facing single guys, right? They doubled him some, but he was also having some times where he had to deal with just a tackle by himself. Got pressure, what, once, twice maybe in this game? One that I can think of. Maybe he had more than that I don't remember. Rashawn Gary? What was he? I mean, that really is the biggest issue that I have with this football game. Both lines is why they lost this football game. Offensive and defensive line. You tell me. Nicolay Law, talk and text line, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Trail, north side of Milwaukee, to lead things off here in the Green Bay Football post-game show on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. What's up, Trail?
Hey, Sparky, I agree on a premise that you're talking about the offense and the defensive line, but I totally disagree that's the reason why they lost this game. They lost this game for one reason that's been permeating this team for years now. Their head coach cannot coach a football team that is favored to win. He cannot coach a football team that has a better team. This has not just happened for this year. If you go back when we had Aaron Rodgers and we had home field advantage, we always showed up short and lost. This guy, I don't know what it is about his game plan and all this, and he acts like he's so focused at his press conference on Halloween with his little smirkish remarks. And to me, I don't see any type of innovation, any type of creativity. It's always herky-jerky. This is the same offense we've seen against Cleveland. The same offense we've seen against Cleveland. And I'm just sitting there, they're going to lose this football game.
It's the only other game where we've seen this offense struggle. Every other game, they've scored 30-plus points.
I disagree. We've seen the same offense in the first half of Pittsburgh.
But they finished.
I complained about. And you told me, you barked at me talking about it. I didn't know what I was talking about. It was the same thing again. And as long as this guy, I don't know if he's nervous, when his team is favored, I don't know if he gets nervous and he starts to overthink himself. I don't know. I can't pinpoint one thing what it might be. But I am sick and tired of seeing this song and dance with him. And nobody calls him out. Everybody calls everything out and all the players. And they call all the position groupings. They call all of them out. But they will not call the man who's leading this football team. And I'm sick of it.
So you think we get another head coach, his offense will be better than 30 points a game?
That's not what I'm saying.
Because if we're saying we're firing Matt LaFleur over two games, then by all means, fire Matt LaFleur. Do your thing, man.
Did I say fire him?
You said this has been going on for years, dating back to Aaron Rodgers.
Am I wrong?
What?
Am I wrong?
I don't know. You tell me.
You don't know.
I'm just saying, Trev.
What happened in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game?
You had three interceptions by the defense, and your offense couldn't score.
Three interceptions by the defense.
Yes, they picked off Brady three times in that game.
Thank you. I'm glad you just said that. Who couldn't score?
The offense. Bakhtiari went out and they were screwed.
And what type of head coach is Matt LaFleur?
Well, again, are we talking head coach? Are we talking play caller? What are the two things
we're
talking
about? Isn't he a play caller too? Isn't he both?
Right, but what I'm saying is, if we talk about a head coach, we're talking about a leader of men and all of that stuff and gets guys motivated and does their thing. If we're talking about the play caller not knowing how to play call in games in which they're favored, I think those are two different things. Maybe not. Maybe you disagree.
I mean, it could be two different things. The whole thing, though, Spark, is that you just said out your mouth that the offense couldn't cash in.
Correct.
On three interceptions. And my thing is that we've got an offensive-minded coach who happens to be the play caller. So who's that fall on?
Well, again, I don't disagree if you want to go at Matt LaFleur for this one. Thanks for the call, Trev. I just – we don't know how Ed Policy is going to view this, right? We have no idea if Ed Policy is going to look at this and go, you know what? You're fired. You're done. You suck. You can't beat Cleveland. You can't beat this Carolina team that was 500 coming into the game. So you suck. You're out of here. Goodbye. Maybe Ed Policy does that. I don't think Ed Policy is going to do that. Want to know why? Because most teams are going to lose five or six games throughout the course of the year. They are. That's what's going to happen. I mean, if we're going to take it from that perspective, then the Lions are about to fire their head coach because they're about to lose to the Vikings. They're down 10 right now to the Vikings in Detroit. The Colts, they're about to lose to the Steelers. They're down 10 in Pittsburgh with 2 minutes to go in that one. There are several favorites that lost today. Again, to expect a team to go undefeated is tough, number one. Number two, when we talk about this game, you can only call play so much before these penalties of 2nd and 12, 3rd and 10, whatever the case is, because your penalties are absolutely freaking killing you. Now, you could say, that's on LaFleur because he's not coaching a disciplined football team. Fair assessment. Fine. If that's where you want to put the blame, I got no problem with that. We yelled about that with Mike McCarthy for years in Green Bay about not having disciplined teams. So if you want to put that on LaFleur as the head coach, fine. If you're going to say they lost the game because they were running too many screen passes that were getting blown up and Savion Williams fumbling the football, well, that's on LaFleur. That was his fault. Jordan Love throwing the ball to three defenders and one wide receiver. Well, that's on Matt LaFleur. He should have controlled Jordan Love from throwing that football. That's on Matt, too. I know what I sound like. I know I sound like I'm defending Matt LaFleur, but sometimes I think we just get way over our skis on trying to go after this head coach. I promise you, if they fire Matt LaFleur and they're done with Matt LaFleur and they bring in somebody else and this thing goes backwards, y'all are going to be sitting here going, oh, my God, what did we do over a couple of games? I mean, everybody's got a right to their own opinion. I'm not going to sit here and yell and scream back and forth. But I struggle with LaFleur is the reason why whatever happens at the end of the day. The goal is to win Super Bowls. Yes, you want to win regular season games to get there. They had the best record in the NFC coming into this game. They were number one in the NFC North. Providing the Vikings don't screw this up, they're now up 3 with a minute 45 to go in Detroit. Providing the Vikings don't screw this up, they're still going to be in first place in the NFC North after this one is all said and done, with a tough game going up against Philadelphia. Now, based on what you all think, that means the Packers should have a huge game against Philadelphia because the Eagles are thought to be good, right? So they'll get up, they'll play up to their competition. Based on what you all think, that also means in the playoffs we should be good to make a run because you're not going to face any crappy teams in the playoffs.
So they should be good in the playoffs, too, if we're saying we play down to the competition, right?
Nicolay Law, talking text line, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. I haven't got to the text messages yet. We will get to the text messages in a little bit. Lorenzo in Arkansas, you're next here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, powered by Lakeland University with me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. What's up?
The biggest problem with Green Bay is the play calling. When you watch teams that are good offensively, you never know if they're going to run or throw on first down.
Yeah.
Every time Green Bay ran the ball, Carolina was right there in their face. He hardly ever threw the ball two or three times on a roll on first down. Until they get that problem rectified, they will always be in second and long, third and long. In fact, the best receiver, Tucker Kraft, got hurt on first down when they was trying to run the ball.
Yes. So, Lorenzo, so you're telling me if you were a defensive coach and I told you, Lorenzo, they're going to run here, and you're the defensive coordinator, you guarantee me you're going to stop the ball by just me telling you they're going to run? If I say, Lorenzo, they're going to pass here, do you guarantee me as a defensive coordinator you're going to stop Packers offense if you know they're going to pass?
The object is to keep them guessing. When I watched the game today, every time it was first down and I thought Green Bay was going to run, they ran.
I get it. But it's a lot harder than just saying, if I know if you're going to pass or run, you still have to stop it because you don't know where they're running. You don't know what the scheme is they're running. You don't know anything. You may know they're going to run. Okay, fine. You could say that's predictive. Okay, I'll get down with you on that, Lorenzo. But it's still more than just knowing if they're going to run or pass, whether or not the opposing defense can stop it, right?
But they are too predictable with running the ball on first down. I mean, I'm not a football coach, but if I can sit here in my living room and say, here he goes again, and they do it, that means that the defense on the other side knows that he is doing it.
But he doesn't know where the running back is going. He doesn't know what the guards are doing, what the tackles are doing. Are they pulling? Is it going to be reversed? What type of run is it going to be, Lorenzo? Can you predict that on your couch?
It doesn't matter.
It does matter because that's how you have to stop a play.
If I can predict that they're going to run, I already have the advantage defensively.
Maybe to a degree. Yeah, you can bring guys up into the box and so forth from that perspective. Yes, I'll get down with that, Lorenzo. Thanks for the call. Sure. Okay. Yeah, you have an advantage to the degree that you can walk your guys up, press in the box, run blitz, whatever you think what they're going to do. Yes, you have an advantage from that perspective. I'll give you that. Nicolay Law talking text line. Here we go. 262 says, I don't want to hear any excuses of any type from absolutely anyone on this station. That was an outright embarrassment. Again, why don't you all go look up the stats of the Panthers? You all act like the Panthers haven't won a game all year. Y'all act like the Panthers have only won a couple of games. Their numbers were better than Pittsburgh's. And you all were telling me what a great win it was to beat Pittsburgh. And I kept telling you all, it ain't that great of a win. Pittsburgh's not that good. And I was called an idiot for that one. And then at the end of this week, we were looking at the numbers going, hey, man, this is going to be tougher than Pittsburgh was. I'll continue on with your text message. That was an outright embarrassment. Poor play, poor coaching. Poor decision-making, just absolutely weak at all levels. This coaching staff is way too wildly inconsistent to be considered a possible Super Bowl-level staff. Some type of change needs to be made with this amount of talent because the coaching is 100% not matching it. So there you go. He wants LaFleur fired, too. I mean, y'all want to fire LaFleur. Do your thing. I'm not going to support it. I'm not going to get on that board. And if you know anything about me, I've asked for coaches to be fired for 20 years of my radio career, left and right, way ahead of anybody else. But I'm not asking for this dude to be fired. No chance. None whatsoever. Zero chance that's going to happen. Tommy Wirtz, other side of the glass. We have not heard from him yet because I've been talking too much. Tommy Wirtz, your thoughts.
I think this is the worst loss of the season. I think this is terrible. This is the team just looks so flat the entire time. And I sympathize with everyone complaining about Matt LaFleur today because this is one of the worst coach games I've seen Matt LaFleur do as a member of the Green Bay Packers. In my mind, it just looked lost, had no idea what he wanted to do next. He was stubborn on getting Josh Jacobs the football in the run game this entire time.
Right, but Olsen was on TV asking for them to pass more and not run it.
It was... I really believe that Emmanuel Wilson is the better runner of the football. I don't think he's the best running back on the team, but this season, every time Emmanuel Wilson has the football, he just looks way more comfortable running it than Josh Jacobs has this season. And Matt LaFleur, if I see another outside screen this season, like, it just doesn't work. Savion Williams fumbles on one. Emmanuel Wilson on a third, key third down, goes backwards on one. There was one time it worked out today in which you saw it happen because Savion Williams was able to make some sort of play happen, but he ran immediately into a blocker anyway. The offensive line should be ashamed not being able to pick up anything on the middle blitz this entire game. The defensive line, again, they had so many backup offensive linemen in for Carolina, and they had nothing dialed up that was creative. They had no pressure. The running Rico Dowdle just ran circles around them today. This looked like a game in which the players were unprepared. They didn't execute well during the game, and Matt LaFleur didn't help himself out either. I was telling you, I have no idea why you did not take the points when it was their second to last offensive drive. Why did they go for it on fourth and eight? Why not make it so that if you do score a touchdown, which you know you're going to get the ball back one more time, you would have the lead. They would have to kick the field goal to tie the game at the end of the game. Going for it on fourth and eight in the red zone, they were terrible in the red zone all day today, which I think can be attributed to execution and poor play calling in the red zone all day today. You had the fumble. That was costly on the very first drive of the game, too. This is an overall terrible team loss for Green Bay, and I understand why people are frustrated with Matt LaFleur, because I think it starts with him.
There he is, Tommy Wirtz. He agrees with you all. He's frustrated with Matt LaFleur, too. Just for the record, you want him fired after this? Do you want him gone?
I sympathize with people with that take.
Are they better without Matt LaFleur? Should they fire Matt LaFleur?
I'm going to say I sympathize with the people who have that take. But I'm not calling anything.
You're not calling for him to get fired, though.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that people should be upset or crazy to say it. Okay. I'm not saying people are crazy to say
it. Okay, so you think it's reasonable to think they should fire him?
I'm not calling for his job, though.
No, but you think it's reasonable.
I think people being frustrated
is... Who would take over this team right now that would put him in a better position to win?
No one.
Then what are we talking about?
I understand your point,
too. What are we talking about?
I mean,
y'all may get your wish.
I'm Switzerland right now on Matt LaFleur.
Ed Policy may be done at the end of the year. You know, this team may win 12 games, whatever the case may be. They may lose in the NFC Conference Championship to, I don't know, What 2-3-win team do you think is going to be there?
You were not prepared for this game, and you were not prepared for Cleveland, and both of those losses are terrible losses this year.
The Panthers are 5-4. Let's quit acting like they won one or two games.
Are you kidding me? You were like the whole week, you're like, I'm not worried about trap game. I'm not worried about that the entire time.
You're right, but we're acting like they lost to a one or two win team. It was definitely a game between that game and Philadelphia. And as I said during the week, statistically, they're a better football team than Pittsburgh. And people were acting like
they are a better football team than Carolina. They are a way better football team.
I'm not saying they're not, man. But just like I say in every other sport, good teams lose to bad teams all the time in the regular season. It's going to happen. The Lions lost to the Vikings. Are the Lions, should they fire Dan Campbell because he lost to the Vikings at home in Detroit today? Because the Vikings aren't as good as Detroit, are they?
This is not a game which you should be reactionary, but you absolutely have to remember it. And now it is stacked on this season. When you saw what happened in Cleveland, it was very reminiscent. The entire game was going the exact same way as Cleveland. You could see they were outmanned on the trenches. Their execution was terrible down the stretch. I made a tweet today that the Jordan Love haters, like, they're going to love that throw. That interception, oh my gosh. But what are you doing? It was a forced play again.
On the interception, you're right. That was all on Jordan Love. The rest of the game, I don't know. I'm not putting it on Jordan Love the
rest of the game. Absolutely not. But it was a play where Jordan Love, you could tell, I think he was frustrated with what the play call was coming into today, and that was one where he knew he had the option to go downfield, and he took it upon himself to try to say, well, we're not going to get a lot of chances to go downfield because we're not doing it all game, so I'm going to just try and pray on a throw, and it was awful. It was a terrible throw. It was very reminiscent of, hey, terrible throw against Cleveland, and I'm a Jordan Love stan, too. I love what he brings to this team. I do think he's a good enough quarterback to lead this team to where they want to go, but What are we doing? They are obviously Matt LaFleur. For people who don't trust Jordan Love, that stems from Matt LaFleur because he doesn't trust Jordan Love, it looks like.
All the people that don't like Love don't like LaFleur either. So, I mean, normally those people are two in the same. Justin in North Carolina, you're next to the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, powered by Lakeland University as the Packers lose 16-13. What's up, Justin?
Hey, man, probably the toughest day at the Packers bar here.
Hold on. I can't put you on there like that. That sounds horrible. You might pick up and check him because that was not good.
I'll see what's up.
Let's check CB, downtown Milwaukee. You're next. What's going on, CB?
What's going on, man? It was a good game, and just Carolina just planned up for them. And, you know, they had a plan for Michael Parsons because nobody else didn't step up. The two players I have an issue with, McManus, he needs to go. I think he's done because he missed that field goal. Carolina would have ran down and tied the field goal. It would have been 16 all. And then Sean Ryan, the offensive line dude, he's a mess too. So I hope they get rid of him.
Well, he was in there because Aaron Banks, a big free agent signing, can't keep himself on the field no matter what happens. And I don't know what the injury was to Banks. I didn't hear, like, did he ruin his knee or something? Or is it something minor he just didn't want to come back out and play through? I have no idea what happened to Banks. No clue whatsoever. But I'm sick of watching him not playing. What?
Mark, where's that other kicker at?
Oh, he's
free. Did they get rid of the guy or what?
No, he's still on their roster. They still have him. They didn't cut him. So,
well, they need to put him in there.
Yep. All right, CB, thanks for the call. They're not going to cut McManus. They just gave him a 3-year deal or whatever. They're not cutting McManus.
They're not going to, but it's dumb that now all of a sudden I'm nervous every time he goes out there. And I know they were talking about the win throughout the game, too, and how unpredictable that was. But
that had nothing to do with
that. I mean, it's just so Green Bay to have this where it's McManus comes in last year, saves the season, everyone's not worried anymore, and then he gets hurt this year, and another guy comes in, doesn't miss anything up, and then McManus comes back, and now we have to be uncertain every time again. And Green Bay dug this grave for them. Like, they cannot have Haversick come back in because they just extended Brandon McManus over the offseason. So now, instead, you're going to be stuck with this decision of, damn, is the other guy better now the entire time because of how awesome he was when he was out there?
He was so awesome that every team in the NFL wanted him. I'm sure if Haversick is so awesome, the Packers will get all kinds of trade offers at the trade deadline here before now and Tuesday of people wanting to trade for Haversick. Because not every field goal kicker in the league is amazing.
Yeah.
Obviously, right?
I am not saying that they're going to bench McManus, and they shouldn't bench McManus because they're invested in McManus now too. So I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, of all the special teams problems Green Bay has, when they feel like they have an embarrassment of riches at kickers, it's very Green Bay Packers to now have it mess up.
No doubt. All right, we got lots of people commenting on YouTube. We got to read some of those in the Dugout YouTube chat there. Nicolay Law Talk, a text line also for you. We'll try Justin in North Carolina. KJ in West Dallas, you guys are all coming up again. Love to hear from you. 16-13, Packers lose to the Carolina Panthers. Nicolay Law Talk, a text line 414-677-1250. Green Bay Football Postgame Show, powered by Lakeland University. Right here on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back. The Packers lose 16-13 on a game-winning field goal. While the Panthers, as time expired, 16-13. Nothing too great. Lots of things that weren't good at all, but one of the things that were good was this dude here.
He's coming in on the rush here. Young throws it quick. End zone shot. Picked off. McKinney kept the feet in bounds. Number two in the NFL last year with 8 interceptions in his first season with Green Bay. He has the second pick of his season, just the third INT for the Pack.
Great call there. Highlight courtesy of Fox. And the Packers lose despite that interception by McKinney. He almost had a second one but couldn't keep both feet down. And there was a penalty on the defense that would have been raced either way. It is the Green Bay football postgame show powered by Lakeland University. Broadcasting live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Tommy Wirtz, other side of the glass. Back to the Nicolay Law talk and text line. Justin in North Carolina, try number two. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, man, I hope it's a lot clearer now, man.
Yeah, you're good.
I don't know what the heck's going on. I was going to say, man, I was at the Packers, our Packers meetup group out here in Carolina, and you had to walk out with them playing Sweet Caroline and Petey Pablo from the DJ. Just absolutely gutting. I don't know if I'm going to solely put it on LaFleur, because like Tommy mentioned, you saw guys running up the middle untouched on multiple possessions. Our defense was just, they played decent, but just not good enough to win. My question, I guess, for you, Sparky, though, is when you look at that last play of the game before the field goal, I don't understand why the Panthers snapped the ball at all. And when they did, he's running, and there's 6 Packers around him with the time going down. So if you just stand there and wait, the time has to – and it was 1 second. I don't understand why we tackled him and allowed them to call a timeout and get everything in play like
that. That's another deal where when you're in the moment and on the field – I mean, we could say from a fan perspective that you should be thinking like that, but most guys aren't. Most guys are just thinking take the dude down.
I get you, man. I mean, I don't have anything else on the game. It's just, it's tough,
what
man.
What was the Packer fan split there? Were there a lot of Packer fans there?
So the problem with our Packers bars, and I'm sure a lot of the other folks that listen across the country, when the game comes on national TV at home, people sit in their living room. We had about 40 Packers fans out there. Normally we get anywhere from 150 to 200.
Wow, that much.
A lot of people from all different parts of the state of Wisconsin, too. It's really a good experience, man. If you're ever in this area, we need to get you out there. But I'll leave with this, man. You know, your good friend that used to do the big show with you, Leroy and Gary, used to say those guys get paid, too. And we didn't execute today. They got paid. And Unfortunately, Bryce Young wasn't good, but he was good enough to beat the Packers today, which sucks.
Yeah, but he didn't make any critical mistakes other than that one McKinney one. Thanks for the call, Justin. And yeah, sure, those guys get paid too, and you can always say that no matter any time you lose a football game at that point. With that being said, let's head inside the box.
Let's go inside the box score. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
My goodness, that Bears-Bengals game. Bears have the lead 47-42 with 17 seconds to go in the fourth quarter in Cincinnati. That's crazy, Tommy.
Yeah, it's an insane game they got going on there. And Joe Flacco just continuing to be the fine wine of the NFL.
Yeah, no question about it. And he's playing with a shoulder injury, I want to say.
I want to update you real quick that from the Matt LaFleur presser, which we will play here on the show.
And we'll hear from Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press.
Matt LaFleur says Tucker Kraft's knee injury, quote, does not look good.
Oh, that's great.
Just want to update you.
So, again, the Tucker Kraft injury, if he's out for the year, whatever the case may be, they're going to have to figure out how to adjust. And that's going to come back on who? The play caller to figure out how to use this offense. Now, it shouldn't be that big of an adjustment because they ignored Tucker Kraft for most of last year.
Mostly today.
He had, three targets, I think, when he left at that point. So it is what it is. If he's out, it sucks because that is the guy you want to be your number one guy. Christian Watson is out there to stretch the field. That's great. Romeo Doubs is obviously the guy that he wants to get the ball to the most. Maybe this frees up Matthew Golden out to be more involved in the offense. Maybe that's what happens. Because yet again today, Matthew Golden had that one deep chunk shot to him that was broken up in coverage. But outside of that, Matthew Golden was completely ignored in this offense yet again. That would be the challenge if I'm Matt LaFleur that I've got to figure out how to overcome. And that is, how do I get Matthew Golden the ball more consistently on a game-in, game-out basis? Because when the ball's in his hands with his speed, he should be able to create some big plays. And they just have not done that. Even if it's just giving him the ball on a reverse or something, let him use his speed at this point.
I don't think they have that at the forefront of their mind at all. I don't think Matt LaFleur is thinking that at all. I think he wants to get Savion Williams more involved in the offense than he does with Matthew Golden. Yep. I think he wants Josh Jacobs more involved than he is already, more than Matthew Golden. So, no, I disagree with that. And I don't think that it's going to lead to more opportunities for Matthew Golden because Christian Watson feels like he's going to take all of those deep threat opportunities now, especially if Tucker Kraft is out.
Correct.
For Matthew Golden. So, no, I don't know how they get him more involved, and I don't think they're going to get him more involved even with this injury.
The other thing is, here's Luke Musgrave's opportunity now to get back that number one spot at tight end that he lost due to injury. Tucker Kraft is now gone with injury. Here's your chance, Luke Musgrave, to now become that guy that they thought you were going to be when they drafted you. All right, let's go inside the box. Jordan Love, 26 of 37, 273. An interception, only sacked one time. A passer rating of 80. Yes, he was only sacked one time, but that offensive line was horrible today, I think. Josh Jacobs, 17 carries, 87 yards, a touchdown. Emmanuel Wilson, 6 touches for 16 yards on the day for him. Green Bay receiving, Romeo Doubs, 7 for 91. He had 10 targets. Christian Watson, 2 for 58 on 4 targets. Luke Musgrave, 3 for 34 on 3 targets. Chris Brooks had 2 catches for 24. Tucker Kraft, 2 for 20 on 3 targets. Josh Jacobs, 4 for 13 on 5 targets. Savion Williams, 2 for 12 on 2. Malik Keith, 1 for 11, big third down catch. Matthew Golden, 2 for 9. Emmanuel Wilson, 1 for 1. And, of course, the Savion Williams fumble in that one. Those are your offensive numbers as we go inside the box score. And if we look over at the Carolina Panthers, the same way, Bryce Young, 11 of 20. Bryce Young threw the ball for 102 yards and won the football game.
Yeah, he had a 43 passer rating and won the football game as well. That should show you how awful this offensive performance was in this game.
Rico Dowdell, 130 yards on the ground, 25 carries with a busted up groin, it appeared, and 2 touchdowns. McMillan, 4 for 46 on 6 targets for the Carolina Panthers.
A lot of big grabs from him.
Xavier Leggett, 1 for 22. He had 3 targets. 2 for 11 for Rico Dowdell out of the backfield. He had 3 targets. And everybody else, 1 for 9, 1 for 8, 1 for 5, 1 for 1 for the Panthers. Again, Packers lose this one. Love to hear from you as well on the Nicolay Law talk and text line. 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Are you putting this one on Matt LaFleur like we've heard earlier on in this show? Are you putting this one on LaFleur is the reason why they lost? I put it on the offensive line and the defensive line. That's where I place blame. I've been overruled so far early in the show. You tell me. 414-677-1250. We'll get to some of those dugout YouTube chats momentarily. KJ and West Allis, you're next on the Nicolay Law Talking Text Line. What's up, KJ?
Good afternoon, Sparky and Tommy. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah.
First off, the Packers were favored in this game?
Yes.
By 12.
It was 13 and a half at one point.
Yep.
Yeah. 13 and a half. They were saying 14, I think, during the game. They didn't look like that at all. If I'm Brian Gutekunst, I'd be concerned about having Matt LaFleur calling the plays. He doesn't seem to be able to, in critical situations, to walk and chew gum at the same time. You know, I harken back to the Browns game, even the Cowboys game. In critical times, he doesn't make good decisions. I don't know what it is about it, you know, but I think I don't necessarily want to see him fired. I'm not calling for him to be canned. I am calling for perhaps an offensive coordinator to call the plays other than Matt LaFleur.
Stanovich, you want Adam Stanovich to call the plays then?
Who?
Right, exactly. Who? Yes, exactly. That's correct, KJ. Thanks for the call. Right.
That was perfect.
That's right. Yeah. Who? Yeah, former offensive lineman. He's been the offensive coordinator for a couple of years now. Or would you like Getsy to call plays? Luke Getsy. He's on the staff, right? You let Luke Getsy call plays? He's shown to be great at doing that in Chicago with the Bears, hasn't he? No. So maybe you can go that way. I don't know, man. Like, I would love to get down and agree with y'all on this whole get rid of Matt LaFleur thing, pull play calling from him, and all this other side that we all wanted.
You could be more critical on him today.
There's just no way. This is
100% justified the critics for today.
No, you've got holding penalties all over the place, putting you in bad situations.
Oh, you mean on a team that's already super penalized
Fine.
All the time?
Okay, if you want to say LaFleur is to blame for the penalties and saying they're undisciplined, I'll listen to that. I'm not going to disagree with you.
Yes.
This whole play calling thing, when you're averaging over 30 points against everybody other than the Cleveland Browns coming into this game to say, he's horrible at what he does. This offense sucks.
Can you say he looked lost today? Can you say he looked lost today? Because he 100% did.
Listen, give me an example. I didn't like the screen calls. Obviously, they didn't work all day.
Right. They used four different ones of those. They ran out of the shotgun on the touchdown play and almost didn't get it again as well on third down to score their first touchdown.
So you're blaming him for almost didn't happen?
I'm blaming him for poor management of the game, too. I said already that he needed to take the points the drive before. Then it's a field goal to tie the game as well. As it was happening, I didn't understand the call. He had nothing drawn up for down the field other than the Christian Watson big play. And after that, they had to try to force one again. They didn't try anything as far as creative goes on the run game other than one little fake to Savion Williams on that orbit motion that they then handed it off. He did nothing creative. He did nothing that made you think he had any idea of where he was going to go next in this game. I think that critics on Matt LaFleur today are very justified.
And the nice thing is about this is tomorrow you'll get to hear everybody's takes on this, right, on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Can't wait to hear what Trevor Thomas and Josh Albrecht have to say on Inside Wisconsin Sports. Then 9 to noon with John Kuhn, who's right there on the sidelines, right, giving his take on the network or on the local broadcast as well. So we'll hear John Kuhn. We'll hear Rami Makhlouf. I'm sure Brandon Snyder will chime in with something like he always does, the producer of that show. Then it's Mason Crosby and Mitch Thunder Nelson with the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon with Tommy Wirtz. We'll see if they're as mad and angry at the world as Tommy is right now tomorrow from noon to 2. And then I'm back in tomorrow from 2 to 5. Easton Butler will join us tomorrow from Packer Report. He's been all over some of the things the Packers are trying to do before the trade deadline coming up on Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock. So we'll have Easton Butler on. I'll try and see if we can get another guest or two to add to that lineup tomorrow. Wisconsin Sports Daily served up by Wendy's. Let's go to Lamont, northwest side of Milwaukee. You're next on the Nicolay Law Talk and Text Line after the Packers lose 16-13. What's up, Lamont?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, there's no excuse. It's unacceptable. You cannot lose to the Carolina Panthers. I don't care who's out there. The Packers are a very talented team, more talented than the Carolina Panthers. The problem is this, fellas. We're so inconsistent offensively. Do I think we were looking ahead? I don't think so. I think that sometimes we just get in our own head. LaFleur gets into his own head. He becomes so vanilla, so predictable. You can tell what the plays are going to be. There was no creativity, I believe, like somebody said. It's atrocious. You can't lose to these type of teams. You have to take advantage of these teams. By the way, where's Nate Hobbs at, too?
He's watching. He lost his job to Carrington Valentine.
We paid him $12 million a year to lose his job to Carrington Valentine, who's not that good either. Let's be honest. He's just a guy. We need help in that secondary because Michael Parsons and this line, in order for them to get after somebody, if they don't get there, we're going to get killed by the back line. If McKinley's not making plays or Williams not making plays, we got to do something.
Well, you're paying Michael Parsons and Rashawn Gary a hell of a lot of money for them not to get there.
Yeah, they didn't play well today either. They had a great game plan against them. I think they double-teamed them. They ran different players at them, kind of frustrated them a little bit. But this is unacceptable. We cannot lose to the Carolina Panthers. And Matt LaFleur, get your head out your butt, coach like you're supposed to, and understand you got really superstars on this team, and if you don't coach them the way they need to, you're going to be gone. Am I calling for his job? I'm quite there, fellas. I'm going to let y'all know that right now. Because if he's going to coach like this, when we get to the playoffs, we're going to be one and done again like we are every single year.
All right. Thanks for the call, Lamont. Don't be a stranger. There he is, Lamont. Northwest side. Packers lose 16-13 on a kick as time expired. McManus misses the kick. Packers have a lot of penalties as well. They are pretty much outside of one touchdown void in the red zone today. Another thing that will be talked about all week, including tomorrow. We'll continue on Green Bay football postgame show still to come. David Fox Point, he'll join us coming up next. You're next in line in the Nicolay Law Talk and text line. You can jump aboard as well, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. We'll hear from Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, Packers beat writer. We'll hear from Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur, and anybody else that we can run down between now and 5 o'clock. That's the time we're going to today. Packers lose 16-13. Green Bay football postgame show powered by Lakeland University. Live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Sparky and Tommy here.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW.
this is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
319, touch!
It is Jacobs with the move, and he gets down to the one-yard line. It'll be third down and goal for Green Bay.
That's right now what Matt LaFleur is trying to deal with.
Throwing his touchdown.
Josh Jacobs deserves a lot of credit for that one. Because if he doesn't extend underneath that pile, he's not getting in by any stretch of the imagination. Then they say the ball pops out, everybody's thinking that maybe it was a fumble. Jacobs came out, I was like, that's a touchdown. Like, y'all need to look. I reached it over and crossed the plane of the goal line, and he did, and it was a touchdown. Yeah, that was
great,
a big play.
Great play call, Matt. Great play call.
Why don't they scored?
See, this is a Josh Jacobs effort.
Fine, but it still worked. You're so bitter.
How else did they do in the red zone?
You still don't want to go.
They were great in the red zone all day, right?
No, I'm just saying on that play.
Were they 0-4 before that in the red zone on touchdowns?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Great play call. Yeah. Great. Way to figure it out.
Packers lose 16-13 to the Carolina Panthers. It is the Green Bay Football Post Game Show, powered by Lakeland University, live from Wisconsin Sports Radio Network Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Let's go to the Nicolay Law Talk and Text Line. You can hop aboard as well, 414-677-1250. David Fox Point, you're next. What's up, Dave?
Hi. This loss lays at the feet of Mr. Halfley.
Okay.
When you have second and third string offensive linemen in there and you can't get any pressures, you didn't bring no blitzes, nothing. He's not very inventive. He's got to come up with something late in the game to put pressure on the quarterback. His name was called, Halfley's name was called more than any defensive lineman for the Packers the whole game.
You're right.
So he's got to go. And I would give LaFleur one more year, and then I would start looking for another coach.
He may not even get one more year.
Not much is being done.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, we'll see how this plays out, Dave. Thanks for the call. Great point on Halfley. And again, I said that earlier in the show. They played this game thinking they could get pressure with the front four. And if we're being honest, I thought they could get pressure with the front four as well all week. I thought that was definitely going to happen. And clearly it did not happen. And you gave Bryce Young time. You couldn't stop Rico Dowdell running the football. So it was a train wreck. All right, coming up next hour, Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur, Ryan Wynn will join us from Green Bay, the Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette. After the Packers lose today 16-13, I cannot wait to hear Matt LaFleur. I cannot wait to hear Jordan Love. And Ryan Wood, too, because he asked me, he's like, hey, how much could they lose by or win by and you still be mad? Well, they ended up losing. So we'll talk about all of that coming up next.
Show them what time it is.
The game is over. What went right and what went wrong? It's time for the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, brought to you by Lakeland University. Experience it your way. Visit lakeland.edu. Let's get to your hosts of the show, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Tommy Wirtz on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Packers lose this one 16-13. We're talking about it as we broadcast live from Wisconsin Sports Radio Network Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Sparky here, Tommy Wirtz over there, other side of the glass. Lot of people talking about the fact that this is Matt LaFleur's fault. So let's check out the YouTube chat here, Mr. Tommy Wirtz, and we can read some of the comments here on the YouTube chat. You can chat with us there. You can chat with us on X as well, as we're live streaming this thing on X and on YouTube at WI Sports Radio. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Check us out there as well. But you can leave a message on Twitter. We'll see it. Or you can leave a message as well on YouTube. All right, what do you got?
Let's start with Anton here. You can't change my mind on this. MLF has not had this team prepared to play. I get statistically Panthers were better than the Steelers.
Much.
But this is still unacceptable. Thought that was a good
one. Can we talk about something for a second here? We'll continue on here.
Go for it.
If we just sit here and look at the scores from today, right? Vikings beat the Lions in Detroit. The Lions are a better team than the Vikings. That absolutely is the case, I would think, at this point. The Steelers upset the Colts, who have been playing better than the Packers have to this point.
Yep.
And the Steelers just got beat. They beat the Colts 27-20. Now, that game was in Pittsburgh, in fairness to them. So, and those are a couple other games where you look at it and you go, man, there's three teams, if you include the Packers, that lost games today that probably they shouldn't lose, and three of the best teams in football.
Okay, Maxwell, if you can't beat bad teams, that's terrible.
No.
The swing to Emmanuel Wilson on 3rd-and-3 at the 8 when it was in 4-down territory is unacceptable. You can't go backwards, and that is what he called.
They are 5-4, so I don't know how you dare justify bad teams coming in. They were a 500 team. A bad team, in my mind, would be having more losses than wins. That is not what they had coming in, and they have more wins than losses now. I'm not saying that Packers shouldn't have beat them. They should have beat them. I agree with you 100% on that. But again, we're acting like this team has two or three wins, and that is not the case, folks.
Rainbow Trout, Sparky Schilling so bad.
Same thing you said last week.
It would make Aaron Nagler blush. Right?
Yeah, that's fine.
I had to keep that one up there.
Yeah, Rainbow Trout.
Look, everyone in the comments section saying virtually the same thing. Everyone mad at Matt LaFleur. Everyone mad at what the Green Bay Packers did on offense this week. And I think that it's justified, again. This Panthers defense was not a scary defense by any means coming into this week. I don't care that they were a 500 ball club. I don't think that this team is maybe as bad as people are painting it. But I think that the Packers right now are in jeopardy of not being as good as people painted it right now. Sparky, is this defense scary?
Scary as in scary, like this thing could go bad scary? Or
no,
scary good? Like, how do we justifying scary?
Does anyone fear this defense in the NFL?
I think they did the first 2 weeks.
Right now, is anyone afraid of this defense?
I think they did the first 2 weeks. I don't know if they do now or not, one way or the other. I will say this. The one thing they said about Micah Parsons, specifically Jerry Jones, was, yeah, after the first game, I think it was, or two games, he was like, boy, if he played like that every week for the Cowboys. But see, that's the thing, is that's been the knock on Micah Parsons in Dallas, which is some games he looks like a world beater, other games he disappears, and you don't know he's on the field.
Okay, now I'll ask you, is this offense scary? Is anyone afraid of this offense?
Yeah, for sure. No question. You're averaging over 30 points a game outside of the Cleveland game coming into this week? Yes, I think people around the NFL are scared about this offense. Greg Olsen said it himself on the broadcast today. This offense has every ability to be explosive. And Olsen, I love Greg Olsen. So you may not like him, but I like Greg Olsen. And Greg Olsen, he was hammering on the Packers for running the football too much. He wanted the Packers to let Jordan Love wing this thing all over the field and be as explosive as possible. So Greg Olsen also thinks that this offense is really good.
Okay.
All right.
So that would probably mean that there's a problem somewhere else. Maybe the calling of the offense, the
offensive
play calling
line sucks.
The offensive That's, line sucks.
The offensive
so the
line
offense
sucks. Yes.
Feel Aaron like that Banks, is one of the most fear like inducing positions possible on the offensive line. Philadelphia Eagles offensive line, that is fearful. People are afraid of how good that offensive line is.
Yeah, nobody's fearful of this Packers offensive line.
Right.
Elton Jenkins
who's scary on the offense then?
Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs,
Josh Jacobs
Kraft,
is not scary
Christian
anymore.
Watson?
No,
absolutely.
Christian Watson
this
has
offense
played two games for this
no
team. Tucker Kraft is going to be out for
hey
some time.
By all
it sounds
means
like.
Look up how many teams in the NFL are averaging 30 points a game. Tell me how many there are.
Yeah, it's not going to be a lot.
Right.
Right.
Go ahead, tell
okay
me. I'm sure there's a lot of them. I'm sure there's 15 or 16 that are doing what the Packers offensively were doing offensively, and you can't say, oh, Sparky, yeah, they were scoring 30 points a game outside of Cleveland, but their defense was having pick sixes, and the defense was scoring, and special teams was scoring. That's just not a true stat on the offense. No, the offense was doing all of this. The Packers weren't creating turnovers. They were having to drive full lengths of football fields in order to score these points.
There
Come
are,
on, man.
As of today, three teams averaging over 30 points a game. Indianapolis, Dallas, and Detroit. Buffalo also ahead of Green Bay. Green Bay at fifth now.
So Indianapolis lost today. Detroit lost today, both to worse teams. And the Packers lost today.
Yep.
And I'm guessing people want Dan Campbell to be fired in Detroit over it. Brandon, you're next here on the Nicolay Law Talk and text line as the Packers lose 16-13. What's up?
My old friend Sparky, this is Brian and McGlynn.
Oh, sorry.
Brandon.
What's up, Brian? How are you doing?
Worse. I swear to God, LaFleur coaches every game like their kicker's Adam Vinatieri. He never wants to win. I mean, I was to win. They don't ever coach like there's a big lead. I mean, they look like they were looking way ahead to next week. That preparation in a game, the vanilla calls up the middle,
yep.
And then throwing. And it's at least three to four times that I remember, he threw off the back of his foot like he was throwing a Hail Mary.
He does that every week.
That play in the end zone, there wasn't nobody within four counties of Brown County and Green Bay when he threw that ball. They're lucky that wasn't intercepted because that guy might have did a pick six from the middle of the end zone. There was nobody on that side of the field. Everybody flooded to the side that and Love was rolling to. Where was he throwing it? What is he thinking under duress in those moments when he just throws it up and hopes somebody's going to get it? There was nobody even there. And at least three or four times, like I said, there's no zip on the ball when he's throwing off his back foot. He's throwing it like, and it was windy. What did he really think was going to happen?
So for you, this game's on Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur, both of them.
Well, I would fire LaFleur. I can't stand LaFleur. I don't think that he's a man's man. I just think that LaFleur.
What does that mean?
He's not a man. They
what does
look
that
so
mean?
You look at the physical teams. Like Carolina came in and they played smash mouth football. They knew they couldn't compete with the Packers offensively per se. So what they did, they came missing three offensive linemen. They came in to pound the ball and try to eat up the clock as much as possible.
Yep.
And the floor doesn't adjust. He doesn't adjust his game plans like the Kansas City Chiefs coach. Like even the Patriots. The Patriots look physical now. They look like they're coming back strong.
Mm-hmm.
They look physical. You've got to be able to pound the ball, and then throw it. They want to be too sugary. That West Coast garbage is gone.
So wait a second, hold on. So you wanted him to run the ball more this game with Josh Jacobs than he did?
No, I'm not saying more run the ball more, but they're not physical. Before you can run the ball like that, you got to have an offensive line. Their offensive line is pathetic, but they've got to do something. They've known that for the last year and a half, even though they had some great games last year, when it comes down to the crunch time in the goal line, inside the five, I think they were 0 for 4 or 1
for
5.
1
in the
for
red
5, yes.
They cannot. I mean, to me, I don't think they're ever going to win crap with Jordan Love. I think he's a stat guy all the way, 20 to the 20. When they get into the end zone, he doesn't think
okay,
well
so
under
LaFleur,
pressure.
You want fired, and you can't win crap with Jordan Love. That's your take, right?
No, I don't think they're ever going to win the Super Bowl. Right. Nobody remembers who went to the dance.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. All right, thanks for the call, Brian. Okay. So Brian says Jordan Love ain't winning a Super Bowl, or even getting to the Super Bowl probably, mm-hmm. and Matt LaFleur should be fired. Are you in that camp? You're not, right? You didn't want LaFleur fired yet?
I'm not
maybe
there yet.
Maybe next week, after they lose to Philly, maybe he'll get there?
Well, if they put up a game like this today. What if they lose 30-3 next week to Philly?
What if they
do? That's going to be a disaster as well that comes from this.
Why? That'll be a good team they're losing to. That should be more acceptable to everybody. You lost to a team with more wins than losses, and then you're acting like it was a two-loss team.
Look.
Philadelphia is much better than Carolina, right?
Another terrible interception from Jordan Love, and probably should have had two terrible interceptions, yes. But again, like, where else do you point on this offense? I don't know where you're looking. Who are you trying to get the ball in their hands? It was Tucker Kraft until today, and then he goes out and he is injured.
Correct.
Josh Jacobs is not someone who I'm trying to force feed the ball. It's not Romeo Doubs. It's not Christian Watson right now either. This is a problem that now it looks like it's stemming from personnel. I think Jordan Love is a guy I would rather have throwing it around to whoever,
right.
And they do not realize that yet. And that is also a problem with the coaching staff.
So now I'm understanding. So you're saying Goody has failed at his job for giving him weapons to play with.
You just ran a topic this last week saying, was Matthew Golden the right pick at the right time?
Correct.
After hindsight? Now.
Yes.
So you are questioning the first round pick. Right?
Yes, because they have more than enough weapons. Yes, that's correct.
They do.
Yes, I thought you heard my show. Did you just bring up my topic?
They do not
that
have more than
exact
enough weapons.
What I was just saying. You had now with Tucker Kraft, but with Tucker Kraft as your one, Christian Watson as your two, Matthew Golden as your three, you're gonna get Reed back. You have Doubs, who he loves. You have Wicks. He's disappeared, but you had Wicks, who's been hurt now. You've got other guys. Like, no, I don't. I don't think Jordan Love is lacking weapons at all
so
at this point.
Where should they have gone now? Should they have gone to offensive line? Because that looks really soft right now. Should they have gone to defensive line? Because that was the softest game they played all year, too.
To be fair, I don't remember who was there at that pick, one way or the other. Cornerback probably would have been the right move, if we're being honest.
That's another great answer, yeah.
But either way, they didn't. And I'm not blasting them for taking the golden pick. Like, it made all sense in the world. Your guys dropped balls left and right last year, and were one of the worst wide receiving corps in the league as far as drops go.
Oh, but they were deep. But they were deep in that room now. They have so much talent.
Listen. I'm sorry. How many drops did they have today? Who dropped the ball today?
Yeah, I don't know. Golden probably had the worst one of the one that fell right into his lap in the double coverage.
But the guy knocked it out of his hands.
Yeah, that's look. That was nitpicking right
Dobbs
there on
last
today.
Last week dropped the ball.
Yep.
Tucker Kraft last week dropped the ball.
Yep.
They had no legitimate drops this week. We're like, holy crap, they can't hang on to the ball. That didn't come into play today. Dave in Caledonia, you're next on the Nicolay Law Talking Text Line after the Packers lose 16-13. What's up, Dave?
What's up, my man? Sparky, my dude. Team Bubba Fight. What's up?
What's up, buddy? You can be at the Toy Drive this year.
Hey, I'm going to be there for you. As long as you do it, I'm there.
Wow, we're going to be there, man. December 1st through the 5th. Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. I'm there every day, so come hang out.
You got my number now. Text me, and I'll set up barrels everywhere. We'll go out. We'll sell out.
Sounds good, buddy.
Hey, real quick, man. First of all, I'm so happy to have you back on the air, man. Up in Caledonia, we lose your reception sometimes when I'm driving south, so I got to stay more north to get you guys. But I love that you're back on the air, and I had to call in, man, listening. All these guys want Matt LaFleur fired and all these reasons and all this other stuff. First of all, I'm going to tell you, you got to get out the golden thing. That dude dropped nothing in practice. He dropped nothing in preseason. He dropped nothing. Kind of was a drop today. I know he got a defender got his hand in. He's not getting the play. And the problem is Matt LaFleur is sticking to his guns. He's saying, this is what we're going to do. Matt LaFleur, after the game, what was it, 2 weeks ago, that Golden had a great game, said, well, bad news for Golden. We're going to stick to our offensive playing.
Yep.
What does that mean?
Yep.
You know, you automatically just dismiss Golden as finally being a big part of your offense.
Well, it's got to change now. Tucker Kraft, they think, has a torn ACL, so it's going to have to change now.
You know, and now Musgrave is, you know, listen, Luke had a bad injury, and now he's back. He caught a couple nice passes. I think he'll be okay. Here's my problem, and that's what I'm going to finish with. If Matt LaFleur doesn't get at least to the championship this year, he's got to be gone, and this is why. The reason why is because this team is undisciplined. This team is not responding. This team has two of the highest players in all of the NFL. And they're losing to the Cleveland Browns and Carolina Panthers at home. Listen, they have had some great wins. Everybody keeps saying they haven't shown their true colors yet. They're going to turn it up. Listen, that's coaching. And that's an excuse for coaching. If they're as good as they say they are, as good as everybody thinks they can be, when did Mike Holmgren not get in Brett Favre's face and go, why did you throw that ball?
That's not today's NFL.
When did Rodgers not get in, Mike McCarthy not get in the face of Aaron Rodgers and say, why did you not throw that ball? As soon as Jordan threw that ball in the triple coverage, he sent him to the bench and said nothing.
Yeah, if you think about it, is Campbell in Detroit going to be yelling and screaming at Jared Goff walking off the field? Probably not. I mean, those guys don't really exist in the NFL anymore.
This is true. It's very soft, just as the rules are and the flags are and the referees are.
Yes.
But at the same time, he constantly is putting Jordan on a pedestal. And listen, I'm going to tell you, Jordan has done some great things. He had a great second half. That's what I was expecting this week. He didn't do it. He's got to be held accountable. LaFleur's got to be held accountable on his play calling. He constantly stands at the podium saying, I'll take that. It's my fault.
Right.
It's my responsibility.
Yep.
Well, when the hell is somebody going to hold him to an accountability?
Well, they had policies in charge now, so it's a new sheriff in town. So we'll see, Dave. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Matthew on the YouTube chat says, that caller is spot on. So
Matthew is with you, Dave, in Caledonia. You can hop aboard as well. Nicolay Law, talk and text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Find us wherever you want us to be, whether it be on Twitter, live streaming right now, or X, YouTube live streaming as well, at WI Sports Radio. Plus, we're on Instagram. We're on Facebook at WI Sports Radio. Someday we'll be on TikTok, I'm sure, as well. But this whole X streaming live thing just started last week. This last week. So this is all brand new for us. So let's get our feet underneath us with this, and then we can talk about TikTok at some point. Packers lose 16-13. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur coming up next. Green Bay Football postgame show powered by Lakeland University as we broadcast live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Sparky and Tommy here.
It's super disappointing because it's all about execution. It's not that we can't do it, we just didn't do it. Like, we're capable. I think it's just like, regardless of who's up, who's down, injuries, we should be able to get a stop in that moment. But overall, like, I'm more upset. Like, it got to that point. But I think we're a better football team than what we displayed today.
Dude, you got to be better, man. You got to be better, Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons talking after the game. Shouldn't have gotten to that point. We're a better football team than that. Yeah, you're right. You are. But you yourself got, what, one or two pressures total? I remember one. Maybe there was more than one. But that's all I remember for watching this football game. Rashawn Gary, did he touch the quarterback at any point today? Devontae Wyatt, did he touch the quarterback at any point today? Like, that's the type of stuff. I blame the offensive line and defensive line for why they lost this game. Everybody else wants Matt LaFleur to be gone out of Green Bay after this game. Well, let's see what this guy thinks.
What happened in today's game? It's time to go inside the locker room with Packers beat writer Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law, is the aforementioned Ryan Wood. Follow him on X at by Ryan Wood. Mr. Ryan Wood, where do you put the blame in this one?
It was just a giant stink bomb. I mean, where do you not put the blame? I want to say this. Long term, the one thing that very well might matter is Tucker Kraft. And what I mean by that is, can they recover from a loss at home against the Panthers as terrible as that loss is? Yes. Does it matter at all that they're still the best record in the NFC North? No. But not having Tucker Kraft for a significant portion of this season, that's a huge deal.
Well, if it's a torn ACL, he's toast. He's toast.
That's
for
a massive deal. And, you know, we know Matt LaFleur injury code speak well enough to know that when he says it's not good, that actually means it might be quite bad.
Yeah, and so, who is it? Ian Rappaport is speculating they think it's a torn ACL, so we'll see.
I haven't seen that yet. Obviously, I'm just up in the locker room. But if that's the case, that's the only thing that actually matters here, because there's very few guys in that locker room where you lose him, it's a season changer. Tucker Kraft is one. And that doesn't mean that their season's over now and they're just going to, you know, pop back into their turtle shell and just go home until 2026. No, they got to figure that out. There's going to be time from now to the playoffs to figure that out. But that is a massive, massive deal. Like, you start there. That is everything.
So let's talk about it. I mean, offensively on the football field, I understand that. But I think he's become a leader in the locker room as well.
He's a leader in the locker room. He's a captain on the team. He is their best player on offense. He is a guy who a few weeks ago I asked at his locker when he wasn't getting the targets that a guy of that caliber should be getting. You need to get the ball more. And he did not give the Aaron Jones answer. He didn't shrug it off. What Tucker Kraft told me point blank was, I feel like I'm a guy that for this offense to do what it needs to do down in, down out, I need to touch the ball every single possession. And then only since then, he's backed that up with his play. So that's who you're talking about when you look at the prospects of not having Tucker Kraft. What's very interesting to me, though, and we'll see how this goes, but as the NFL world turns, it was an injury to Luke Musgrave 2 years ago that opened the door for Tucker Kraft to become what he's become, which is a star tight end in the NFL. And now an injury to Tucker Kraft, and on that final drive, this isn't coloring a terrible loss in sunshine, okay? But it's interesting that on the final drive, Luke Musgrave has three catches. Now there's an opportunity here for Luke Musgrave to seize a moment, to show that he's developed behind the scenes over the past couple years, the Packers are desperately going to need him to be what they thought they were getting in the second round in 2023, which is a field stretching tight end, a guy that can be a playmaker in the passing game. The opportunity is going to be there now. Can he take advantage of it? I think that's a massive story now heading forward.
Musgrave, it's a good story. I would like somebody to explain to me why Savion Williams is more of a piece of this offense right now than Matthew Golden.
Yeah, you know, I don't put too much into that. Look, he ran a terrible screen today on a very similar play that he scored a touchdown in the Pittsburgh last week. So you watch him on kickoff return. He has pop. He has burst. Matt LaFleur reminded him on the sideline, when you have a screen, you want to run with your head up so that your eyes can actually see where it is that you're actually going and not going between the 8 and the 7 of your lead blocker, Romeo Doubs. Like, that's a rookie making a poor play. He's made plays. He scored a touchdown on that last week in Pittsburgh.
Let's talk about the offensive line, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press, because that is, he joins us here on the Green Bay Football post-game show powered by Lakeland University on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. This offensive line had their issues again today. Now, penalties obviously being one of them, but the other thing is guys just running free at Jordan Love also became another problem, and Banks out with another injury. He can't stay on the football field no matter what happens. So then Sean Ryan gets forced into action at left guard. I don't know how they get better or how things get fixed, but they must play a lot better if this is going to go without Tucker Kraft.
They're going to need to run the ball even better, and I'm saying that on a day that Josh Jacobs wasn't bad. The run game wasn't bad. Josh Jacobs averaged over 5 yards per carry, had 87 yards, had the touchdown at the end. Like, it was not a bad day, but if you don't have Tucker Kraft now, you are losing some serious firepower in your offense, and you better be what you were last year when it comes to running the ball, which means a road grading offense, a power run offense that can take it to anybody, kick any defense in the teeth, even when the defense knows it's coming, and just be relentless with it. And we haven't seen that. We didn't see that today. We haven't seen that this season, but that is now what's going to be required for this offense, is to be that, be what they were a year ago when it comes to running the football. And that absolutely starts with the offensive line, regardless of who's on the field. Obviously, the attrition has hit them very hard. Unlike last year when all five starters played 1,000 snaps, you knew coming into this season that wasn't going to happen. The Packers, after their loss in the playoffs at Philly last year, spent the entire offseason before Micah Parsons trying to build up that offensive line in terms of size, power, depth. You have to see that now, regardless of the injury situation, come to the fold, because that's going to be – That's going to be the blueprint. It was their identity last year in offense. It very well may need to be again.
Do you think this offense has become predictable under Matt LaFleur?
I wouldn't say predictable. I think they've done a pretty good job for the most part, and obviously pretty good. There was nothing good today. This was the defense gave the Packers offense so many chances that they just did not take until the very last opportunity when it was too late. It was way too little, way too late. I think as a whole in the season, they've done a pretty good job of zigging when defenses are zagging. If there's too high safety, they've run the ball okay. If it's one high safety, Jordan Love's thrown them out of it. Like, they've done an okay job of adjusting. It's too many empty possessions. I get that the Carolina Panthers defense is not awful, but you are at home, your defense until the very end, and it's not safe from culpability here. It gave up a drive in a moment that it absolutely could not. But your defense all day has been giving you chances. You cannot continue rewarding that effort with all these empty possessions.
What do you say to those that say the Packers tend to play down to their competition?
I'd say the proof is in the pudding, isn't it? What a weird team. Your hardest opponents this season are your best wins. And the games where you expect to win are your worst losses. Like, they trounced the Detroit Lions. They went into Pittsburgh at night and beaten Aaron Rodgers. They've lost to the Cleveland Browns on the road, and now they've lost to the Carolina Panthers at home. And the Carolina Panthers, I get, are a team with a winning record now. They're a lot better than the past couple years, but they are a team that there is no excuse to lose to on your home field. I don't know what to make of them. I believe in the talent. Even without Tucker Kraft, there's a lot of talent on this team. I also believe that we see they play down to their opponents. So one of the two is going to win out over the long course of the year.
Ryan, in your opinion, which loss is worse, this one or Cleveland?
This one. Road and home are not the same. The Carolina Panthers are better than the Cleveland Browns as a football team, but you have them at home. And in this league, you simply cannot lose a game at home in which the opposing quarterback completes 11 out of 20 passes for 102 yards and no touchdowns and an interception. You can't lose that game. That's inexcusable. You say what you want about the run game. Sparky, I heard you coming in. Packers pass rush today, whatever. What did the Carolina Panthers do throwing the football? Almost nothing.
No, 102 yards, I think it was, for Young. That's all, something like that.
Yeah, 102. He had 102 yards. He averaged 5 yards per pass. If you're not getting a bunch of sacks, but that's your that's the quarterback production that you're giving up, you absolutely take that. The issue is you had too many empty possessions on offense. You could not find rhythm, continuity, and you gave up 130 yards to Rico Dowdle. Thank you, Jerry, Panthers fans are saying. It's not just Packers fans saying that.
Yeah.
And you get caught off guard in a two-minute situation thinking that it's going to be a pass. When they're not doing anything, it's a pass. They run inside zone for 19 yards up the gut to get into field goal range. It just completely caught off guard. Like, you can't allow that to happen on inside your home field.
We talked about this briefly during this, but I didn't focus in on it. We haven't played LaFleur yet. Did he give an update on either Golden or on Banks?
I was not in Matt LaFleur, so you would know it better as me.
Yeah, I didn't see anything on Twitter one way or the other on that, so I'm guessing we'll get that at a later point. The Aaron Banks thing, I've about had my fill of that. And if they have Golden now gone for any type of significant time on top of Tucker Kraft, That's a big time problem there.
Ron, I'll tell you this. I did catch up with Colby Wooden in the locker room, and he has the shoulder injury. And he made it very clear, next Monday night against the Eagles, no worry at all. We'll see how the week progresses, but as far as he's concerned, he's playing next week, which is significant because after giving up your first 100-yard rusher of the season, your next time up to the plate is Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, can I ask you one more real quick, Ryan? Devontae Wyatt, why did he seem so quiet today in your eyes?
Micah Parsons addressed the pass rush, I think, in a very fair way. He said, and I don't know if this is the exact number, but it's not far. They had two true dropbacks all day. This was catch and release to the highest level. You're not going to get a lot of cracks at the quarterback when that happens. Now, as far as the run defense for Devontae Wyatt, I'd have to see the film. Wasn't good enough. You know, I asked David McKinney, this has not been an issue this season. Before today, they gave up 94 yards and 18 carries to Quinshon Judkins in Cleveland. It's interesting that their two worst run defenses against this particular single back this season have both been their two losses. But they hadn't done this. They hadn't done anything close to this. And David McKinney said, it's little things that have been, he wouldn't go into detail, but that have been in existence, things that they've been trying to address that get swept under the rug when you win, get swept under the rug when you don't give up a lot of big rushing yardage.
Yep.
And so there's an idea in that locker room that, like, this is maybe been percolating for a while and that there's issues there that they have to get fixed.
Well, good. Then let's fix them. McManus, is he going to have a job tomorrow?
He'll have a job. Question is, next week, does he kick? And I would guess right now, yes. This is a team that, and this isn't a knock. This is the way you should execute your decision-making in the NFL. This is not a team prone to rash decisions. It is a team that's going to be patient with proven commodities. Brandon McManus has been that, and yet he's got to kick better. Brandon McManus said in the locker room today, he's kicking like a word I cannot say right now.
Good,
with
please.
You live on the air.
Thank
and
you.
He's right.
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble. Please don't.
Yeah, so, but he's right. He is. And, you know, I'll tell you this. Can you imagine a world that exists where Lucas Haversack's not on the roster after the trade deadline? I can't. I mean, at this point, you have to keep him on the roster.
What if somebody comes and offers you a third for Haversack? You're going to say no?
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, we're all acting like Haversack's all that in a bag of chips. Well, by God, I mean, every kicker in the NFL is not great at this point. Not everyone is. So if somebody thinks Haversack is as good as Packer fans do after two games, surely they'll be knocking down the doors of Green Bay to get Haversack on the roster.
Meanwhile, by the way, in Vegas.
Yeah, 68 yards away. It's up there. It's out there. And it's good. It's good from 68.
Yeah, Cam Little of the Jaguars against the Raiders. Ryan, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you.
All right, take care.
There he is. Ryan Wood joining us on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Follow him on X at @ByRyanWood. Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Catch him tomorrow at 1 o'clock with Mason Crosby, Mitch Thundernellis, and our guy Tommy Wirtz. That's all presented to you by Verizon. Again, tomorrow at 1 o'clock here on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. Day starts tomorrow inside Wisconsin Sports with Trevor Thomas and Josh Albrecht, 6 to 9. 9 to noon with Kuhn, John Kuhn, and Rami Makhlouf. And then, like I just said, those guys from noon to 2. And then we'll be on doing Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's from 2 to 5. And then it's the Wisconsin Sports Wrap-Up Show from 5 until 6. Packers lose 16-13. Let's go inside the locker room straight ahead here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, powered by Lakeland University, live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Sparky here.
And Malik Heath missed the block on the guy that he was supposed to block. That's what happened. Malik Heath missed the block.
Okay. It was a garbage play call.
I don't disagree.
It's a garbage play call.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just telling you what happened. It appears Malik Heath never blocked the guy he was supposed to block.
They only ran four, you know, sweep screens all game. They did it all the time. They did it the whole time. It was not fooling anyone.
Can we talk about that for a second? Because it sounds like, listening to him, he's pretty much saying, look, man, if you just play zone in front of Jordan Love, he eventually is going to make a mistake. That eventually he's not going to be patient enough to move a team down the football field. I want to see what Philadelphia does now. Does Philadelphia come in, do the exact same thing, rush four, play everybody in front of them, and see if Jordan Love will have the patience to do that, and knowing Philadelphia's front four is probably going to have some success getting a Jordan Love too.
How much does your confidence in that Philadelphia game go down after a game like this?
None.
Oh, that's a lie.
None.
That's a lie.
Not really. Because I'm just going
based
on...
You were not confident before then.
Listen to me. No, just going based on what everybody else has said. How can you be concerned if you're in their boat? Which is the boat of, we always played under our competition, knew this was going to be a trap game, but they always play up to teams that are good, but always play down. Okay, well, based on that logic, you shouldn't be all that worried about Philly, because you'd expect them to play back up against Philly and play well. What about Tucker Kraft, man?
That absolutely hurts it, too.
No, I'm not as worried about it without Tucker Kraft. Like, that is, if you want to be on Matt LaFleur and everything else, this is on Matt LaFleur now to draw some stuff up and figure this out without Tucker Kraft. They discovered Tucker Kraft because of injury.
Yep.
He would never have put Tucker Kraft in these situations had Musgrave never got hurt. He got forced to do it, and he figured it out. Well, now he's going to get forced to use Luke Musgrave in a similar situation, and let's see if Musgrave steps up and starts having big weeks like Tucker Kraft. And if he does, then what? Then is it Matt LaFleur, boy, what a great play caller, or is it, he just got lucky? I'm not going to give him any credit. Just curious. Can't wait to see how that plays out. Here's Jordan Love. So let's talk about something else about Jordan Love. Because this whole idea of, well, I just got to dink and dunk it. That's not who this dude is, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's not who this dude is.
He has
told you before. That's not his personality. He wants to throw the ball down the field. He wants to make big throws to Christian Watson. When he didn't have Christian Watson, he didn't have that guy to force the ball to, because he didn't have anybody else doing it, because they didn't ask Matthew Golden to do it prior to this. The only other guy they kind of would go to, and that wasn't even really consistently, was Jaden Reed. That's it. Well, now that he's got his deep guy back, I'm telling y'all, mark it down. He's going to throw more into double coverage to Christian Watson the rest of the year. I promise you, interceptions are going to go up. Big plays are going to go up because he's going to hit on some of these. Watson's going to go get the ball a couple more times. But that's who he is. That's why I say, like, if you're any team right now, until Jordan Love proves he can dink and dunk it down the field, they should continue to play the same type of defense, especially if this offensive line isn't going to protect all that well.
Real quick, before we have to get out of here, trade deadline Tuesday.
Yep.
Green Bay need to do anything now after watching this game?
Need a cornerback, man. I'm not changing my opinion on that whatsoever. They need a damn cornerback. They got to go find one. Easton Butler from the Packer Report, who's been all over this, he'll join us tomorrow at 3:20 on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy. So stay tuned for that tomorrow afternoon. We'll see what he's hearing on the latest there. But yes, they have to find another cornerback. They just do. An offensive line. I don't know what's out there offensive line.
Wide receiver in play?
Nah. No, they're good. They'll be all right. I'm not worried about the wide receiver position as much as probably others can be. Now, listen, if we find out Matthew Golden's out for a long period of time too, then yes, then maybe wide receiver is going to be in play. But if Matthew Golden is
not that bad and he's back for Philly, then you don't worry about it obviously as much. That'll do it. Packers lose 16-13. You've been listening to the Green Bay Football Postgame Show powered by Lakeland University right here live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Sparky here. Other side of the glass, Tommy Wirtz. Tomorrow, get it kicked off 6-9 inside Wisconsin Sports with Trevor Thomas and Josh Albrecht right here on this very same radio station. Toodles!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.